presentation from Cynthia Aguiman-Clark. See, I gotta love the Clark part in the end. Come on down.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for coming out. He thought it was just a sore in his mouth, and so he let it go. It went away, or so he thought, but it came back. 6 months later, he lost his lower jaw and all of his teeth. He was just one man in our community with mouth and throat cancer. Community-based participatory research has become a popular approach as researchers have realized the value of community engagement and study design and implementation in recent years. The number of community-based related research projects funded by the National Institute of Health has grown from just two in 2000 to well over 50 today. Investigators have found that implementing community-based research can result in a more representation sample of research subjects, a realistic setting in which to conduct research, lower the cost of subject recruitment, and interventions that are more likely to be acceptable to a given community. Since some of the biggest challenges of clinical trials is timely and sufficient recruitment, either in total enrollment or inadequate number of minorities, community-based research can make a crucial contribution to research success. One of the first steps that a community liaison takes is introducing themselves to the community members where they will be conducting the research, and to seek out stakeholders in the community. This can be done in several ways. I have chosen to identify stakeholders by speaking to community members and listening for the common names that come up as we speak. It is at this point that I find the stakeholders, I introduce myself to them, and in so doing, I explain what it is I like to do in their communities. At this point, as a community liaison, I explain what I would like to do in the community. I also ask their opinion about what it is I like to do, and I ask if this is something that the community would be interested in learning more about and becoming an active part in the projects. And so far, I haven't been turned down. But now that I have engaged with the stakeholders and they have given me permission to come into the community, my journey has just begun. I am then at the point where the stakeholders believe in me and my mission, and we have established a working relationship. Throughout this study, I will be leaning on the stakeholders to gather information, get their opinions, and seek their permission. This is where networking begins and community engagement starts. This works both ways. The community liaison needs to get involved in the community activities and events and become an active participant in the community. It is important to meet with other agencies in the community, join hands, work together, and build that community. There is a great need to show that you, as a community worker, really care about the community. In the past, many researchers have taken from the community and never given back. By using the community-based approach, taking advantage of others can be avoided, and a happy medium can be established. Empowering people, raising self-esteem, and increasing knowledge in the community are critical elements in community-based projects. In these hard economic times, when people are out of work and relying on government assistance, some for the first time in their lives, it is hard to find where one fits in. People are longing to be a part of something. Many would like to be recognized as having a place and a voice in the community. This gives the community liaison the opportunity to encourage individuals to join in and take a part in focus groups, health fairs, Relay for Lives, and other community events and board meetings. It's good to remind stakeholders and participants that just like breast cancer and prostate cancer awareness had their start and their pioneers, today they are the pioneers who will bring about changes and bring awareness of mouth and throat cancer to their communities and to the world. Seeing the results of their work can bring a sense of pride and raise self-esteem in a community member who may have been downtrodden. It can empower the individuals to let them know that they have made a difference in the community as well as in the lives of others. These important critical elements help encourage the others to join in and be a part of the increasing knowledge of mouth and throat cancer, not only to their communities, but beyond. The groundwork for engaging participants for focus group has already been established. Social networking has begun. There's no shortage of participants as word gets around about being a part of a research project that will help save lives and supply a need to the community as well. One of the benefits of having a community-based participatory research is the fact that there is a live person who is bridging the gap between the research and the community. Not only can the community liaison represent the researcher and make sure that the research needs are being met, but the community liaison has a trusted relationship with the community as well. The community liaison speaks the community language, understands local terminology, and uses imagery that can explain the wishes of the researcher in terms that are clear to the community. This helps in drafting informed consent documents that meet all the scientific criteria demands by the Institutional Review Board, yet are also understandable to the community members. Here at Southeast Center for Research to Reduce Disparities in Oral Health, long name, we have established a Community Advisory Committee, which we call CAC, which is a group of community members that advise and direct the scientific part of the team on what will work in their community. Maintaining the rigor of the science can be a challenge at times. The protocol of the study must be met down to the smallest detail. At times, following the guidelines of the study may seem unnecessary and a waste of time to the community member. My job as the community liaison is to make sure that the processes are being followed and help the community to understand why. It has been noted that this trust relationship produces high quality results. Because of establishing the relationship, committee members and participants in focus groups sense a relaxed atmosphere and will give the real answer and not the answer they think the researchers would like to hear. Both sides of the scales are balanced. The community members are pleased with the community being recognized as being part of a campaign that will go down in history, and the researcher has accomplished the goals that they have set out to do. Two of the most important responsibilities a community liaison is to first build a trusting relationship that if for some reason you need to leave the area, you can always come back to that trusting relationship. And second, to leave the community in better shape and condition than you have found it. Here is one example of what I believe is a success story. We at Southeast Center are conducting a study on removing barriers to screening for mouth and throat cancer. The principal investigator for the study is Dr. James Shepherd, and he is a professor for the Department of Psychology at the University of Florida. Dr. Shepherd met with the Community Advisory Committee. He had a concern as the questions and the methodology of his research. Once Dr. Shepherd explains what he wanted to do in the community, board members offered suggestions about communities from which he wanted to recruit participants and how they would be recruited. For the service stage of the project, the CAC advised Dr. Shepherd to recruit and train people from the community, rather from students from the university, to serve as the interviewers. The CAC suggested that the interviewers wear the center t-shirt identifying who they are, and that the interviewers read the survey to participants rather to rely on participants to reading the surveys for themselves. Insights into conducting the door-to-door interviews and the type of research assistance were discussed extensively. As a result of the participation from the CAC, the research question was refined, as was the methodology. In addition, this is yet another way to give back to the community because it created jobs for the unemployed person in the community. From the door-to-door survey, 425 surveys were completed from a target population group. Dr. Shepherd sampled from three communities, ensured that the sample was represented in terms of age, gender, and educational level. According to Dr. Shepherd, community-based participatory research was the best way to go. He stated, "I could not have done this without the community workers." I believe because these community workers knew the people they were interviewing and they were able to obtain a higher response rate and gather more honest information, the survey base revealed four barriers to screenings. One, it was not a priority. And two, there was a lack of resources. They had no cars, no money, and no time. Three, some just didn't want to know. The fourth is equally important, is the fact that what did not emerge as a barrier. Researchers in other areas suggest that fatalism, a belief that getting cancer is a matter of fate, if it's God's will, then it will happen, is a barrier to screenings. Yet fatalism did not emerge. Yet fatalism did not emerge as a barrier in the present research. Stage three of the study tests the message design to address the barriers that promote mouth and throat cancer screening. The use of conducting focus groups, using community participants as part of the research has once again identified something we thought was a barrier, and it has produced a new outcome. This study is ongoing, and more results will be forthcoming. In conclusion, I have no doubt that community-based participatory research is here to stay. People are much wiser and understand their rights as a community member and citizens of the United States. No longer can a research scientist run into a community and gather information and run out. Community members are now asking questions. Why are you here? And why do you want to know, what do you want with this information? Community-based workers can answer these questions because they will be around to show the results of the community involvement. The relationships that are built by community liaisons are almost as close as families. Truly said, when people in my community hurt, I hurt. And when they are happy, I share the joy with them. Bringing information that someone may save, that may save someone's life is a positive addition to the community. community, reaching communities, touching life, empowering people to be better mentally, physically, and spiritually is what Community Day's participatory research means to me. I encourage all of you to join hands with the community and work together to fight against the disparities of mouth and throat cancer. Thank you for listening.